WHXS Mobile on the radio for your listening pleasure. KN4VWA, KB2HXS. Steve, you there?
Here, KN4VWA. Also, for your listening pleasures. So, what's happening besides the power bill and the rent there, Dave?
Yeah, my dander is up. My grass is growing. I'm sitting in my living room watching the kitchen sink. That's an old joke, too, just like the rodeo joke. You can live that one down for a while, right?
I don't know what to call that, but that's what I'm a KB2HXS. Yeehaw! You out there?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Just don't tell your wife that joke. She'll probably come over and beat me up.
I tell you what, she'll beat both of us up. Yeah, but, well, between you and Lightning Lips, Patrick, I tell you, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I got to call Patrick and tell him that one. He'll probably fly out of his truck into that one. Well, you know, you got to remember, I'm an old truck driver, so that's all I got is old jokes. Old truck driving jokes.
Well, you probably know about the one about letting Benny drive, huh?
Oh, which one is that?
About letting Benny drive.
Oh, I don't know that one. You got to tell me that one off the air.
Well, you know, that's them little white pills that make you drive for days.
Oh, that's why I don't know that one. I never did that kind of stuff. I just drank coffee and hit the bunk when I needed to.
There you go. Well, you were one of the few back in those days. And for a while before they came out with these satellite monitoring systems and all that kind of stuff, and the only thing they had was paper logs. Man, those guys, what do they call them, cheat sheets?
Well, we used to call them coloring books. You know, you make some lines in them from time to time. But, yeah, I had a Qualcomm in my truck towards the end of my career with Allied. And then when things started to change and the fuel started to jump up and insurance started to jump up, I jumped out of the truck. 2005, I was done. You know, I had enough.
Tell you what, I'm about to go over and spend about $150 just to fill up my Ram diesel truck here. This is the end. Let's change the subject. Let's get off of that before I just get irritable.
Well, what you need to do is get rid of that thing, get a horse and buggy. You know, you can make your own fertilizer.
And the problem with that is one of those won't pull my equipment and haul my loads and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you save the big truck for those kind of things, and you get a small vehicle for your running around, you know. That's what's nice about Sally. Sally's got that CRV. It's got a little four-cylinder. So if we go anywhere, we use that. That thing just sips gas. You know, this thing kind of drinks it.
Well, I've got that Saturn. You know, I got a 2009 Saturn Aura four-cylinder, and I can get about 26 miles a gallon average around town. So, but you know, you can't haul anything in that. You can't pull anything with it.
Right, I got that. But you use that when you just got to go and do service calls. You don't have to, you know, got to drive that big silly thing you got.
Now, wait a minute now. Don't be calling my big truck big silly.
Whatever. Just, I know it's got a loose nut behind the wheel, though.
Hey, the gas pedal actuator has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I know. You got a faster trailer. That was the old joke back in the day. You get pulled over and say, "Officer, I must have a faster trailer."
Hey, listen. I worked on the docks at Stevens Transportation over off Whitehorse. And as a matter of fact, I used to be qualified on forklifts. But let me tell you what. My first 2 weeks there, they played that old joke about go down to the maintenance shop down there. We need about a foot on this trailer. Go down there and get that trailer stretcher. Look, we just got too much. We need to do that. Go down there and ask that man for that trailer stretcher. And you know, I didn't know. So, yeah, I went down there and asked the man.
pulled that joke on a few of my helpers in the old days. Yeah, we gotta get the trail stretcher out. Oh, and I think my phone's ringing. I'm not gonna answer it. It's a BS call. And then the old days working on the plumbing pipes up in New York, and I get them old steam boilers up there. You send the helper out for a bucket of steam and kickstart the steam boiler.
I hadn't heard that one, but that's pretty good too. Yep. Well, I wouldn't dare do it today, but you know, we used to have this old boy that he bought himself. This was in 78 or 80, I think. You know, remember when the Volkswagen Rabbit first came out?
What first came out?
Volkswagen Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, weren't they diesels?
You're right. And he was bragging about that thing. Oh, I'm getting 40 miles to the gallon on this thing. So we decided to fix him. We would go and sneak over to his place about every other night and put in an extra 2 gallons of diesel on that thing. He'd come back, man, I'm getting 60 miles to the gallon on this thing. And we did that for him for about a month, and it stopped. I don't know what happened to my gas mileage. It's gone down. I'm only getting 40 miles to the gallon now. I'm going to have to take this thing to the dealership. He took it over to the dealership about 4 times complaining about that. I was getting 60. Now I'm only getting 40. What's the matter with this thing?
Funny. That's funny. And jokes that I got a customer good one day. I'm working inside the trailer, and I'm unloading the trailer. And from the inside, you know, from the front door of the house, you can't see me because I'm in a couple of feet from the side doors. So I told my helper, I said, let me know when the customer's coming out. So he's walking out the front door. So I slam the ladder down on the floor, and I do a third base slide past the door. And the guy comes running over, like, oh, my gosh, you okay? You okay? And he didn't know I faked it. He's sitting there cursing me out once he realized it.
Oh, goodness gracious, boy. I tell you what, karma pays back, you know? And, wow, hey, you know what? I see diesel for $5.39. I never thought I'd be excited about seeing diesel at $5.39. Sheesh. What did I see? That's almost 3 times what we were paying a year ago.
Well, what did Patrick say he paid yesterday? $5.69 or $5.89 or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. So I think I'd better grab this. I got to go over to Lowe's, and when I come back through here, I'm going to fill this truck up at $5.39. Oh, it's a bargain.
Yeah, right. All right, Steve, I'm almost home anyway. I'm just about to turn on Taylor's Road, so I will catch you later, Gator. KN4VWA, KB2HXS.
4VWA. I'm clear, baby. Bye.
4VWA, KN4CHY, the boy, Steve.
K4BWA. What are you up to today there, big guy?
About the usual stuff during the week, working. Well, lunching right now, but about to go back to working.
I hear you. I'm up to about 6'4".
I'd have to have a ruler to get that high. I'm probably not even cutting it high now. Anyway, did you run across any of that material yet?
Had a chance to get down to Greenville. I have been working like a dog, and as a matter of fact, I just cut the grass on an airstrip this morning. It's about 600 feet by 200 feet wide, plus about another acre and a half. That is our pit area for our RC airport, and I got done just as the bottom fell out.
Is raining in the mirror already?
over there already?
It has already come through Greenville, and it just came a frog strangler over here just south of Inman.
Not gotten any in Oconee yet, here just south of Seneca.
Yeah, missed your chance then, because it's already over here. I think the middle of it is right over our area, but there's no big storms or anything, not that I've seen. It just came a real good, steady, heavy rain. Comment.
It's mobile. Morning, gentlemen. I heard y'all talking about the weather. I'm actually on my way up. I'm actually in the Greer area now. But when I was leaving at the Poser, there was absolutely not a speck of rain anywhere to be found.
North up Highway 357. As a matter of fact, I've just passed through Inman, which is completely soaked, and I'm on Highway 176. Approaching 26, and it is soaking wet over here. We got it.
14 now in the Greer area. I'm actually on my way to my father's Gila Indian Fort, my Grammy Alpha's house, to help move. But Nat bought this over there in the Hills area when I was over there before I left. But I figured I'd just throw that in there, gentlemen. KO4NH, I'll be clear.
Hey, Keith, you still there?
I think I doubled with him. I was saying, I just looked at the radar, and it looks like we are clear of it now. The line was coming in, and it hit the Oconee County border and just kind of dissolved around us. Over.
Yep. That's what I thought. So the bottom edge of it should be kind of passing through just the north edge of Spartanburg City. And, I think we finally got some rain. Y'all got a rain on several occasions when we didn't. So, anyhow, I'm hoping the trees are going to stop chasing my dog around.
KO4 HKX. It's been monsooning up here in Fletcher and Hendersonville.
Radar, y'all were getting it up there, buddy. I'm telling you. By the way, I resemble that remark.
I was seeing on the radar, too. It looks like the bulk of it is up in North Carolina now.
Up here in North Carolina, and I will agree with you, because I'm in that area.
All out there. Anyway, Steve, talk to my boss man. He's got some, but he don't have a piece that long. And he called me this morning. He's off today. He called me this morning, and he was riding through there, or I think he actually went by Blue Ridge over there. And come to find out, they're shutting down. But I'm going to Savannah this weekend for Mother's Day. I'm going to try to hit them up Monday when I get back. Over here across from Borg Warner, it was like Blue Ridge, welding and machine or fabrication and machine or something like that. Over.
Okay. All right. Well, I am clear for Monday, and these folks shut down on Fridays at noon, so they're already closed. So I will be over there on Monday morning to see what they've got as far as that square tube. So I'll have a solid answer on Monday.
Good. I will try to get over there and at least find out if he's got any left. Boss man said he's basically clearing out everything he's got. That he's not ordering any more stuff, and so what he's got in the yard is what he's getting rid of. And I'll get back with you sometime Monday, and we'll coordinate on which one gets it.
Sounds like a winner. Now listen, if he's got a short piece, like two foot or 3 foot, that might do just fine as long as it's the 2-inch ID to go over the 2-inch OD. Okay?
I was going to check on both of them. I was going to try for like a 48-inch piece of the 2-inch outside. And then, like you said, a foot or two of the 2-inch of ID.
Yeah, and I've got that straight, don't I? The 2-0 goes in the receiver, and the 2-I goes over the 2-0.
Pretty sure that's correct, but I'm going to verify it before I pick it up. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
All right, good deal. All right, well, so what else is going on?
Made the trip down to Michelin Test Track this morning. Lost about a quarter of a tank of fuel because of a fuel filter rupture. And now I'm up here in Asheville at the FedEx yard picking up a tool cart.
That hurt. Quarter of a tank of fuel on that. What is that? Pretty close to about 50, 75 bucks?
At $100.
Boy, that hurts. Well, I am hoping that in November we can all say, this too shall pass.
Isn't that a fairly new truck?
Almost a year, but it is a 2017 model. So, it's not new, but it's new to me.
Yeah, I heard you talking about when you got it. I didn't realize it was an older model. I thought you bought it new. I was going to play out to have it over at the shop, telling them to figure out what's wrong with this thing.
Are you still running behind on production on those trucks?
They're still way behind. If I ordered a new one, I'm looking at right at 2 years before I can get it.
Them up. Is it the steel, or is it the motors, or is it the computers, or what?
It's just a little bit of everything. It's not just one component. I mean, it's front bumper to back bumper. They're missing stuff, and every manufacturer's having problems getting steel, getting components, getting people to work.
N4DJ6.
Tell you what, that's just unreal. Well, hopefully things can start getting back to normal pretty soon. How you doing there, Jerry? Jump in there. Water spine.
Hey, Patrick and Steve, I think Keith's still in there. I was going to mention the guy that cuts my grass had a fairly new, I think it's, maybe it might be a year old, with a Chevy, nice Chevy trucks. It wasn't a diesel, but it had the tailgate that goes down, triple tire, it breaks down in three places, and he sold it to a Chevrolet dealer that paid him $10,000 more than he paid for it, and went out, put the $10,000 in his pocket, bought him a Toyota that he liked a little better. That was surprising to me. I had no idea they were putting that kind of money. He said there's a waiting list on them for, depending on what you got, for up to a year, if you can get on it at all.
Trucks I see at the dealerships that are available. I mean, they got vehicles on the lot. What's the deal on those?
It's built, but it's sitting there on the lot. I'm thinking it's the chip shortage thing. It's either that or and or transportation. My wife is saying no, she must have got an update. Anyway, he had a diesel Dodge that he is trading in on it. And they gave him $60,000 or $65,000. Anyway, they gave him a few thousand dollars more than what he paid for it. He drove it for a couple of years old.
The Dodge dealership in Spartanburg, they called me up here back in September, and they offered me. I had paid $51,000 for this truck. No, $41,000 for this truck, and they offered me $52,000 for it, and I had 35,000 miles on it. It's crazy out there.
Gave me an update. She just came from Florida, and she stopped by the farm on the way in, and they said that he got an update that something about they were going to have to put a new motor in. They had to recall 6,000 motors, I'm guessing the Duramax motors, and he told them, no, just forget about it. So he, this is a very new update to me. He has since canceled his order. Over.
Goodness for Cummins. I'm driving this Ram diesel. It's got that Cummins in it, and it just, man, it's a beast. It just goes.
Paul Patrick, go ahead, Jerry.
What I heard, guys, was that one of the guys here locally, I mean, the Toyota dealership here in town, which has been in business for, gosh, at least 50 years, I guess, they don't have anything. They may have one or two of the, the big, the new Tacoma four doors. They're $65,000, but the only thing they got left on the lot is all used. And I know, you have probably that Hyundai dealership over there on Congaree Road. That's all they got, used cars, and they got, order it now and get it 6 months from now. And the guy, to make it even more unusual, the guy across the street from my daughter, he ordered a pontoon boat back in January, and they won't get it to June or July this year. So they did all kinds of crazy things, including sending cars and trucks out without certain features, chips and stuff in them that they'll fix them back up or, replace them whenever they get the stuff in. That's just crazy. I'm glad I don't need a car right now.
It's just the way it is for now. Well, listen, guys, I got a jump out. I just pulled up in front of Lowe's. So y'all have a good day. And, Keith, I will be in touch with you on Monday with what I find out, okay? So KN4VWA, I'm clear.
I'll have the radio on, so just give me a holler on the radio, and I'll get back with you. Have a good day, and we'll catch you later. Jerry, like I said, the engine problem is a new update for me, but he's also got a Ram diesel. It's not a dually, but it's one of the big trucks, but it's, not dually. He pulls a big, huge camper with it, so he's got to have a big truck with a lot of diesel horsepower in order to do it. So, he's canceled his GMC and is going to stick with the Dodge there for a while, I reckon.
Good afternoon. Keith, the neighbor across the street, he's got a fifth wheel, and he bought a fairly new Dodge Ram, and I don't know what his... I want to say his may or may not be a diesel. I don't remember now off the top of my head, but he hauls his camper up to somewhere up around, I want to say Helen, somewhere up in that area. And he got a couple of campsites up there where he can, in the same location. He bought two of them, I think. And he just kind of swaps them. He can move it from one to the other every month or something like that. But he's got his back down here now, but I don't know whether he's doing a lot of travel. He's not doing much travel. He just moves from one campsite to the other and occasionally goes to the beach. But yeah, I don't know what these farmers are doing. It's got to be terrible on them with the prices, fuel prices the way it is. Of course, they like Patrick can't drive a big diesel for a living like that. It's just got to be awful.
I'm just glad we bought a truck in 21. So I'm guessing we got it in the nick of time. The wife had a older model. I don't even remember what year it was now. It was like I don't even remember. It's been just a rock solid truck all these years. And we started having really strange electrical problems with it. Like, you couldn't hardly get the wipers to work. And I discovered quite by accident that if you turn off the auto headlights, then the wipers would function normally. And I told her, I was like, I don't know anybody that works on this kind of stuff. So I think it's time to trade it in while we can. So, I guess we got that one just in the nick of time. We ended up with a new Chevy Colorado and got a towing package because we want to pull a camper too, but we're not looking at pulling anything near the size of my brother's. That thing, I bet every bit of 35, 36 foot long fifth wheel.
I think his Tacoma's like a 2001. It looks rough on the outside and in the interior, but he's already had to replace the brakes and master cylinder and ball joints on the front gave out. Just one of the wheels just folded up on him, and he got that fixed. I said, you might as well keep it until it just quits running now. He ain't got that many miles on it, but it's just age. He only drives to work, you know, just back and forth a few miles every day, so it's not a big deal for him. But he's been looking for them, but the only thing we find, the only Toyota dealership anywhere close by that has any trucks coming in, not the, you know, the under $30,000 trucks, is a dealership up there at Malta, Georgia. And everything else is just, you know, they got the four-door, four-wheel drives and, you know, $60,000 ones, and, you know, he doesn't need anything like that. Doesn't want anything or need anything like that. And this, he said people try to buy that old truck out of the passion, have offered him some ridiculous money for that one.
Hey, when we were looking for this truck, we were looking for something specific. And so, I did searches, and there was like three of them in the upstate. There was one over in Easley, one somewhere else over that way, like Greenville and Spartanburg, and then one in Tocoa. We ended up getting the one in Tocoa because there was things in the other two that we didn't care for, so we didn't order one. We just bought it off the lot. And like I said, it's a 20 model. The wife just got back from Florida. She's got a little over 16,000 miles on it. So, but yeah, it,
Our newest Honda is 18. We bought it in 2019, I guess. Well, the 2019s were coming out. And we got about 36,000 miles on it, but we drive it. You know, that's base drive. Family car, we drive it a good bit more. I mean, she's got a 2005 Honda Civic. She drives around town here, and it's got about 85,000 on it. We're going to hang on to it as long as we can because it's good, reliable transportation. It's nice. It's so small, I don't feel real comfortable in it going out on the interstate anymore.
How much did you get of that last transmission? Because I was in the middle of mine, and my radio turned off. I forgot my battery charger wasn't plugged in, so I just ran the battery flat over.
When you said she had X number of miles on it or something like that, and then it just dropped out, I thought you'd stop transmitting. I didn't know that you had a battery deal.
And we found three around the upstate, and the other two wasn't quite what we wanted. So we ended up going over to Tocoa and buying this one. And we got that truck for like $26,000. And you can't touch one for that nowadays.
What I've been looking at online, Keith, the cheapest Tacoma. Of course, they don't make anything but extended cabs or four-door crew cab type things on the Tacomas now. The cheapest standard Tacoma with air and power windows, just a basic package, is about $27,000. And, you know, it's not of course, they've made it. They're so much bigger now than they were years ago. You know, it's a lot bigger truck now, but that's about the cheapest I've seen in a new truck. And as I said, it's like you said, it's either in transit or you have to in production or whatever. You don't have people paying up. You know, I whether paying up front for them or not, but you know, I don't think he's willing to do that. He'll, like I said, he'll just drive this one until it drops and until this thing calms down. There's a possibility. See, if things get like I'm afraid they might get. It's a possibility, you know, this demand's going to slow down a little bit, especially with these interest rates, you know, probably going back up again.
They were saying that a new mortgage now after that interest rate hike is going to cost the average mortgage like, you know, they were going by median mortgage prices. it's going to cost the average mortgage holder like a little over $500 a month. I was like, man, that's almost as much as my mortgage is. But yeah, that was kind of the same thing we were looking at, and I'm kind of surprised that Tacomas are still that cheap. We were looking for an extended cab long bed, and when you look at those two combinations, you know, everything was either crew cab short bed or extended cab short bed. When you search for a extended cab long bed, that narrows your choices down a lot, so we didn't have to do a lot of deciding to go pick one up over.
Yeah, that's kind of been the thorn in the side of those issues as they've increased the size as the Tacomas are not making a long bed with the extended cab. Because when you get a short bed and a crew cab, you know, you're really limited in what you can do. I mean, if it's you know, it's kind of like it's a play truck instead of a work truck. You really need people to do real work in them, instead of hauling stuff around like I did with mine for years. They need that long bed. But they haven't made a long bed in years, I don't think, in the Tacoma. I think the last one they made, Keith, probably my last Toyota truck I had was a 93. That was one of these pre-Tacomas, and it, mine was a short bed four-wheel drive, but that was one of the last year models where they made a long bed.
Fur Old Canyon was a four-wheel drive also, and we actually wanted one of those, but we couldn't find one. And they call this one a long bed. It's not a 6.5-foot bed. I think it gives you another foot or maybe 18 inches over the short bed. But there's been too many times, you know, I needed that little extra length in the bed, so I was insisting on getting one of the long box from North Carolina.
T100 Toyota for a while, and it was a long bed. It was just two-wheel drive though. That thing drove good, but I just, you know, it wasn't a very attractive looking truck, and I finally got rid of it. Well, I got rid of that when I changed jobs and started in sales. But my wife never liked, she always liked four-wheel drive because it looked more like a young man's truck, and I got an old man's truck, traded for an old man's truck. That's been 25. But, yeah, those Ford Mavericks, I think those things are sold out everywhere, too. I don't know if they're even in production yet or not. They said they had back orders for 100,000 or something like that of those things.
About that, because I've seen them come out, and I've seen pictures of them, but I've yet to see one on the road anywhere. And I was joking with an old high school buddy of mine. He had a Maverick back in our high school days with a 302 in it. Boy, that was just a fun little car. And I told him that I was going to go out and buy one of these Ford Mavericks, and the first thing I was going to do is take all the Maverick badges off of it and put Courier badges. I guess Ford forgot their small pickup was a Courier back in the days.
When I lived down in America, Keith, one of the guys that I worked with, I worked at the Western Auto Store full time while I was going to school down there, and one of the guys who worked with me at the Western Auto had a Courier, and I said, when you see a Courier, that's a blast from the past. I hadn't heard anybody even mention one of those things in years. And, that Maverick thing, I mean, it looks good. It looks like a pretty good truck, but, you know, it looks like, it reminds me of the original Toyota, you know, Toyotas and Couriers and whatever the, I don't remember who made the small Chevy pickups like that. It kind of reminded me of those. I don't wear seeing bigger than those trucks were or not.
Reading and seeing the pictures, that's what I was kind of thinking it was. And it was a Chevy Love. I love those things too. One of my old roommates in Baton Rouge had one of them. And you know, any of those, like Chevy Love and the Chevy Chevette and several of their other models back in those days, And even up into the Colorados and everything, those, you know, those are actually Isuzu trucks. Over.
The, I was thinking the left was made by Isuzu, but I don't remember now. But Chevy and Isuzu had a long partnership there, and, you know, for a long time. And they were the, my boss when I lived in Fort Mill had a had a Chevy Love, and it was a good little truck. And I said, well, it ought to be. It's made by me and by a pretty good company. And I had an Isuzu pickup for a while, which is, you know, the Isuzus back in those days, they didn't have, they were selling the trophies, but the pickups were just kind of bare bones model. But it was a good driving little truck.
That's what they would do, is they would, not sure how much Chevy had in the design process, but anyway, they would get the new model together, and Isuzu would basically build them, and Chevy would have like a five-year exclusive on whatever the new model was. And then after that five-year exclusive, then like with the Love truck, they did the Loves for Chevy. And then after that 5 years is when they came out with the Isuzu Pup, which was their Love-size pickup truck.
What I had, a navy blue Isuzu Pup, four-wheel drive, and it didn't sit up real high, but the I'd had a Nissan four-wheel drive before then, Keith, and the Nissans, it was one of these automatic locking, you know, front hubs on it, and the, I don't know if you remember these or not, it might be a little bit before your time, but you know, when Toyota came out with their own four-wheel drives, there was a company called Wolverine that did four-wheel drive conversions, and I think they used Jeep front rear locking, you know, I say that, I might be wrong, anyway, I can't remember, they used you know, different brand for their, you know, all-wheel drives, you know, four-wheel drive setups, and, but the Wolverines were fine, but when Nissan came out with theirs, the front ratio was different from the back ratio when you're in four-wheel drive, so you had that wind-up problem. If you're in four-wheel drive, you weren't slipping in. It caused all kinds of problems.
Familiar with Wolverine, I did not know they did that back in the day. And, yeah, I worked with a guy that had a Nissan, and he had issues with those. And, of course, he lifted his and had big tires on it, so that changes all the driveline geometry, so that probably attributed to it, too. But, yeah, I love that little Chevy Love truck my roommate had, and then years later, I got into Chevettes. I had my stepson bought a Chevette from his sister, and he couldn't pay for it, so I went on ahead and paid for it, and I used it for a work car, and I drove that thing just for years, and I'd probably still have it if he didn't end up with it and just he run it into the ground when he ended up getting it years later. But well, that was one of the best little cars we had. It was one of the Chevy scooters, the Chevette scooters. It was a two-door. But we had that one. The wife had a four-door. And both of them were just excellent little cars.
Well, I had a Chevette. She drove it back and forth to Athens when she was going back to school for years, and several years. And, you know, of course, the first Chevettes, you know, they had cardboard panels and stuff, you know, pasteboard panels and stuff, and they were real, they were just bare bones. But they didn't get a very good, didn't get very good reviews, but they were good cars. And they had a Chevy Bakers, had a, you know, they had a well-deserved, I had a friend of mine, and he said, if something goes wrong, I just leave it on the side of the road. He said, it'll be there for a week. He said, people want him to steal those things sometimes.
Prior to that, my older brother had a Vega. It was a nice car when it was new. But, yeah, they, I think that was one of the first aluminum blocks that Chevy did. And they would, over the years, taper out on you on the cylinders. And in fact, my father bought one as a work car. It was a little two-door white one, the little notchback. And he bought it in Jacksonville, and the body had terminal cancer. It had just huge rust holes in it and stuff. And he would give me that to run around in as a teenager. And I was leaving a convenience store one afternoon. I had my high school buddy that I was talking about was in the car with me. And I backed out of the parking place and pulled it down into first and started easing off the clutch, and it kind of coughed when I was, you know, getting forward motion. And my buddy looked back and just started dying laughing. It's like, what? And he says, look. And I turned around and looked, and there was a big, huge smoke ring going across the parking lot over.
The guy that I knew that drove those things, he called them disposables. He would just leave them somewhere. You know, he always told me that he was, you know, they were good. I tell you, the Vegas were good-looking cars. So they, you know, the style of them was pretty nifty. But he had one. It was just, I don't know where it came from. But he would go down to the where, you know, people had old car tags and stuff. He put car tags in the floorboard and just art weld those things in there for the floorboard.
Roger that. A buddy of mine was borrowing my Chevette for a while, and he worked over at a machine builder in Western Greenville. And the floor in it was getting pretty bad shape. He got tired of being worried about his foot going through the floorboard, so they had an old one of the old square water heaters out back in the junk pile. And he went out there and cut the top out of that water heater and riveted it into the floorboard. So he fixed my floorboard as payment for running it for a while.
One of the guys I worked with he called his a Chevy. But now that thing, his did not lead a good life. Though it was he was a big coffee drinker, and he had some coffee stains in the seats and on the thing. You know, the color of coffee was kind of rigid, kind of a light brown. It looked like coffee by the time he got. But he drove that thing back. He lived in Lancaster at that time. We drove it back and forth to Fort Mill every day. And that thing, I mean, it was a good car. I mean, it didn't leave a stand anywhere, but he always called it his Chevy. And they said, if it had a dead battery, he always parked on a hill.
That, and, yeah, I would, that little two-door that I had, it didn't bother me to get in it and go to Texas. It just ran great. And, I got to be kind of an expert at changing the clutch out in it. When I first got it, the clutch was weak, and then it got to where it wasn't full no more. So I had a buddy of mine that worked with me, said he would change the clutch out for me. I was like, okay, cool. So he got it changed out, and I ran it for a while. And I moved up here to South Carolina, and shortly after we moved, the clutch went out in it again. I was like, what the crap? So I pulled it back apart, and come to find out, he put the clutch disc in backwards. So the hub on the clutch disc was hitting against the flywheel before it would fully engage, so it would start slipping. I put two or three clutches in it. I got to where I could have the transmission out on the ground in probably about 40 minutes. Over
to throw out bearings, that was a kind of a rite of passage, I guess. I'm not a mechanic. I worked on motorcycles a good bit over the years, but I'm not a car mechanic. But my first cousin was really, he was into it. My father-in-law, he'd take stuff apart, take an engine apart, leave it out on the pool table sometime, and put it back together again. I don't know whether he did it for fun or what sometimes, but he worked on Jaguars and stuff like that, and nobody else would work on them. So he said, hey, he had to learn how to do it himself. But I've participated in been an observer of many a clutch and throwout bearing been replaced over the years under a pecan tree.
That was pretty much my MO also, and a quick little amusing story to me, maybe not to my stepson, and I got to get back to work, but when he acquired the car the last time, it needed a clutch again, and, you know, I told him, I said, I can walk you through it, but you'll do it, because I'm tired of doing it. And so he goes to the parts store and gets his clutch plate, throw-out bearing and all, or no, clutch plate, pressure plate, get back to the house, and he sets the parts on the end table there. As you walk in the door, I says, well, where's the throw-out bearing? He's like, I really can't afford a throw-out bearing. And I was like, Steven, the throw-out bearing is less than $10. You really need to go get you a throw-out bearing. Well, I can't afford it. Okay, well, whatever you want to do. So he gets the clutch put in, and he goes to test drive it, and the first thing he does is when he starts it up, and he had it in neutral, and he pushes the clutch in to put it in gear, and he hears a squall, and I heard it from inside the house. I come out, stepped out on the porch, and looked over there at him, and he had the window down, and he looks at me, he's like, what is that? I said, that's your throw-out bearing. Over.
Steven learned IT experience is always the best teacher sometimes. Keith, I'll let you go. I know you're going to be busy. And if I don't talk to you again, you head down to Savannah. You have a safe trip down and really enjoy it. Hopefully the weekend and weather will be good down there. We got to head to Greenville a little bit later this afternoon. I hope we're going to miss some of the stuff coming through, if not all of it. But great talk with you again, as usual. And again, have a great weekend and stay safe.
Like it might turn off pretty nice. Yeah, enjoyed it as usual, and we'll catch you later. And for DJC, KN4CHY, I'll be clear and going back to work.
KN4CHY and for DJC, clear.